Well, welcome to the podcast, Anything's Possible. I'm your host, Joseph Anderson. You can find me on Instagram at The It's Possible Guy. And this podcast, if this is your first time listening, the idea behind this podcast, you know, for years, I didn't realize that it took, like, skill was something that could be developed. Even in high school, I thought people were born with it or they weren't. And since, you know, many, many years later, I've realized that you know, anybody can achieve anything if they're willing to just put in the work, you know, and God's timing and things like that are part of it as well. But so, yeah, this podcast is just a space to come and, you know, learn how, you know, amazing people in the world have created amazing things in their lives. And today I have the pleasure of having BYU wide receiver Chase Roberts with me today. And I'm so grateful for that. How are you doing today, Chase?
Doing great. I'm excited. I love, you know, this podcast and what it's all about, you know, the drive behind it and the motivation that, you know, it's really going to help others. And so it's a privilege being on it and hopefully to help people and to know that, you know, really anything's possible. And if you have, you know, Christ at the center.
You know, and I do believe that. And I know there'll be listeners out there that don't necessarily have a religious background.
Yeah.
But I love, you know, what you said. Yeah, anything's possible through Christ. You know, I've got even on my computer, I have a little card taped there that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because it's so true, man. Like, it's so true.
Love it.
Well, dude, I want to hear from you. Like, I personally love biographies, but cool. Usually we don't get them in life until, you know, people are like, you know, either halfway through their career or their career is entirely done. And it's just a long time to wait to learn from people. And so today I'm hoping to, you know, hear your story about just how your journey has unfolded. Like, you know, from the beginning, like when you decided that you wanted to play football, were you one of those that, were you one of those that was like, when they were 3 or 4 or 5, like, oh, I'm going to be in the NFL.
Yeah. So I remember when I was little, I had this, I think it was probably first or second grade, but they handed out these cards of what do you want to be when you grow up? And there was 3 slots. It was like, you know, your first choice, second choice, third choice. And I had all 3 were sports. So it was play in the NFL, play in the MLB, and then play in the NBA. So that was all so I wanted to be the first one to play in all 3. You know, that was my goal as a little kid. And I loved all sports. So football was my favorite, I'd say. I know there was times, whatever season it was, I guess, was my favorite. But once I got older, football became my passion and my love. And once I was able to get an offer to play at BYU, that was kind of the, all right, football's the sport that I want to keep going, and I'm going to put my all into it and hopefully, you know, be successful. So ever since I was little, yeah, it was definitely a goal of mine, but also I was up for anything, you know, when you're a kid, you kind of live and you just go day by day and have fun with your friends and play sports every day and be outside, scrape your knees. But once I got older, it became a realization that, oh, maybe I could do this.
Well, so even from that beginning stage, like, I think that's so cool. I wrote down some of those things too.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, there's a lot more than just deciding you want to be in the NBA or be in the MLB or be in the NFL that lets you get there. And generally it's called effort, you know, you know, as Russell M. Nelson says, the Lord loves effort because effort brings rewards that can't come otherwise.
Exactly.
You know, and so, like, do you remember even, like, looking back that far, like, what gave you that desire, like, from the beginning?
Yeah, I've always been instilled with hard work ever since I was little with my dad and my parents. You know, they taught me well, and you need to work hard in order to achieve what you want. And I felt that if I did that as well as put the Lord first in my life, then everything will work out. You know, then I won't have any like, oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done this. There's always regrets in your life, right? Things that you could have done better, which is okay. You know, that's the learning process. And that's why we have Christ and, you know, his atoning sacrifice for us to become better, to rely on him. But ultimately, as I put in that hard work and effort and understanding that was a key component, as well as trusting in God and knowing that, you know, injuries and all these things will lead me to a place that he wants me to be at. And ultimately, I was lucky enough to stay healthy and be able to play at a high level of football and get recruited. And then once I got back from my mission, I was able to recover and get back and play at a high level again. So it's just the combination of, you know, trusting in the Lord, as well as putting in all the effort that you need to, and, to qualify, I guess, for those blessings and the hand of the Lord in your life.
Well, so like from that early age,
yeah,
were you super good? Like, were you one of those that like had some natural quickness, some natural skills, natural ability?
Yeah. I mean, there was definitely some of that. I was a little bit taller and lankier than everyone and could go up and catch balls and fast. I was fast, but, I wasn't the fastest on the field. You know, there was definitely guys that were faster and stronger and, but I felt like my mentality and my instincts, you know, was able to kind of put me over the edge, and my love for the game and everything was, helped me a lot, you know, and I love the concept of, you know, anything's possible, because, I could have totally just given up when I found out that there were people that were more athletic than me, faster, especially as you get older and you get that mentality of, oh, maybe I'm not just that little league kid that can just dominate, you know, like there's kids that did that when they were little, you know, they were the little league, like player that was dominating and stuff. So I had to work, you know, I had to put in the effort and know that, it's not going to just happen. So.
Well, and I love the point you bring up, because it's very easy for any of us, you know, like to look at somebody else and say, oh my goodness, like, you know, they're already more skilled than I am. What's the point?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of me even trying? Can you look back, and you don't have to name names necessarily, but can you look back on any particular like individuals or even just as a whole, like, that you saw were like just crazy level of talented and just didn't keep putting in the work?
Yeah. There's a lot of instances where I saw that, and I won't name any names, but it's a bummer, you know, like seeing people that have all the talent in the world and have all like the right circumstances to get them to the next level and to keep, you know, being great, but they waste it all, you know, making dumb decisions, getting into drugs or, doing stupid things. Like it's hard, you know, and I've seen people come out of it as well. You know, it's not the end of the world when you do get into that stuff, and there's a way out, you know, there's always a way to get back to where Heavenly Father wants you to be. But it is a bummer to see people kind of throw away that talent and that God-given ability that they are given. And on the other hand, I have seen guys that have all the talent in the world and really, you know, hone in and do the right thing. I remember growing up watching Puka Nacua, and he was always, you know, the stud of the state. I looked up to him a lot, you know, and I felt like I was kind of in his shadow, you know. And I feel like I could have really taken it a different way or a different path. And, you know, I'll never be, you know, Puka, you know, and, you know, totally gone downhill and stopped playing football, stopped working hard. But it was so awesome and motivating for me to see someone that was at such a high level. I wanted to learn from him, and to have him come to BYU and be able to learn from Puka and see what he's doing in the NFL now, like, gives me hope. And it's really driven me to be a better receiver and a better person.
Yeah. In case anyone who's listening doesn't know who Puka Nacua is, Puka Nacua now plays for the Los Angeles Rams and tore it up his rookie season and became one of the best, what was it, third round draft picks like ever, mm-hmm. that everybody slept on, that every single person would have loved to have him on their team.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. He's a stud.
You know, and I love that, man, because I do. I think that so many people, you know, even a lot of like clients and stuff that I've worked with, you know, there's they basically do say stuff like, oh my goodness, well, what about this person? This person's already better than me. It's like, okay, what does that matter? You know, do you want to keep working hard? Do you want to keep getting better? And so I love that perspective. You know, and it was funny because I was talking to me and my buddy message back and forth, and we're both working on getting in better shape right now. And he messaged me what he was at, weight, like body fat wise, and I was like, oh, he's doing better than me.
Yeah.
And so today I just, you know, did a little bit better. You know, it's like
There you go.
I can't have him beating me, you
Love that.
know. Like, tell me for you, like, what part of your journey has surprised you the most?
Ooh, there's a lot of surprises. I felt like, especially taking 2 years off. In this journey, you know, I guess this football journey, it's not all about football, obviously, and what that's why I took 2 years off to serve a mission. And you know, I always try to put God first in my life, and that's the main part of the journey. But football wise, yeah, it was hard to take that those 2 years off to play of playing football. And it was surprising to me, I guess, coming back and feeling like I could still play at the at a high level. You know, I felt like there were things that I couldn't do before my mission that I could now do as a return missionary, which you don't think whatever happened, you know, not catching a ball for 2 years, like I felt like I was making catches that I was never making before, and like things that I'm like, wow, like lots of cool miracles, I guess, that happened after. You know, working out with at a higher level, you know, and being able to make plays, and it just came to show me that when I trust God and put the Lord first, like He'll bless me, you know, and that these are cool miracles that are happening right now, and I was able to recognize those and then keep looking for them, you know, in my life, and it helped, you know, seeing the Lord's hand in every aspect and every moment of my life.
I mean, that's pretty fascinating, man. Honestly, like, just it does fascinate me. And in a recent conference address, I don't remember who it was, you know, said something along the lines of, yeah, when missionaries come back, you know, plenty of them in sports have better opportunities, more, you know, more scholarship offers, all these things that you chalk, like you just said, can only be chalked up to miracles. You know, it's like all of these things are just miracles. And that's really cool. Like, I will say, like, you know, miracles come either from sacrifice and effort or both. You were willing to trust God enough to say, hey, I'm willing to take, you know, 2 years off. Now, I also went on a mission to Brazil, but I did not take 2 years off of playing collegiate sports because, to be honest, I didn't work hard at anything until I got back from my mission. Just, you know, you live, you learn, and it is what it is. But what's been the hardest part of your journey?
Good question. There's been a lot of moments that were hard. I mean, like I've talked about, you know, taking those 2 years off was really hard, and there's a moment of my life that was rough, you know. Serving a mission is not easy. I feel like these past 4 years too at BYU, there's been a lot of ups and downs. You know, we had a season that wasn't very good, and those, you know, coming into meetings after you've lost four games in a row is it's hard. Like people are like, oh, come on, like there's other stuff happening in the world, like that can't be too hard, you know, you get to play college football. But no, like those moments are hard, trying to lead a team and trying to be in an atmosphere that's positive and you know, ultimately help others and grow as a person, you know. And there's been lots of different moments, ups and downs of, you know, trying to live right, you know, trying to find a wife, trying to just be a good example. And you mess up a lot, you know, and I think just the daily moments that are hard you know, add up over time, and it weighs on you, you know. But as you trust, you know, take one step at a time. And I love the song or the hymn in our church, Lead Kindly Light is what it's called. And it's just one step enough for me is what it keeps emphasizing. Like, just keep taking one step at a time. And through all the hard times, if you just keep taking one step, you'll ultimately get to the place where I want you to be. Just keep my commandments, love me, serve me, reach out to other people, be a good person, and work hard, and ultimately things will work out.
Dude, I love that hymn as well. You know, in that particular, it was funny once you started talking, it's like, oh, I think I know what he's gonna say.
Yeah.
That one step enough for me. You know, like so many people, they look at how in the world can I become a collegiate football player? Like, looking back, if you had to share like some of the big steps from when you first wrote that card, it said, I will play in the NFL, to now, what would you say some of those big steps are?
Yeah, I think,
or at least the memorable steps.
Yeah. Yeah. The decision, I guess, to be coachable was a big decision that I made at a young age. If I was going to play at a high level, I needed to learn and to grow and be coachable. And a lot of the being a beginner moments was the most crucial in my life. You know, everyone hates being a beginner, but if you can handle that well, then that is a huge step into achieving your goals. Because no one, like I said, no one likes being a beginner. But if you embrace it and change that mindset to, oh, I get to learn, I get to be a beginner, and I get to grow and make a lot of mistakes, and, you know, be excited about that first little part. Because once you get over that hump, then it's so fun, you know, and you look back and you're like, I'm so glad I went through that beginner stage because of how much it sucked, you know. And so I look back on those beginner moments in my life, and I handled those really well, which led to everything else going a lot smoother, and being able to look back on those moments and have confidence going forward.
Well, dude, you said something really interesting there, and it was, you know, essentially being excited to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
How do you get to the point of being excited to fail? Because I'm guessing most people out there listening are like, failing is not exciting. But I actually agree with you. Like, I think the quicker we fail, it's life gets so much better because you just take any perceived pressure off of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Everyone's going to fail in their life. And if you put yourself in situations where you're wanting to grow, like, that requires failure. And there's no growth without getting out of the comfort zone. And you have to do that. And that comes with failure, with learning. Like, you got to learn. And so that's why my mentality of, well, if I'm going to learn and if I'm going to grow, like, that comes with failing, might as well fail as much as I can, you know, and get and learn quicker. You know, that's my mindset, you know. And that doesn't mean look for failure, but it's going to happen. You got to embrace it. You got to love it. And you got to put yourself in positions where failure is going to happen, because that's where you grow and that's where you learn.
So growth comes from failure. You can't have any growth whatsoever without failure.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, when I was my first freshman year, or my first year here at BYU, I wanted to go against the best guys, you know, and that, what happened by doing that was I got beat a lot. You know, I didn't catch a lot of footballs because they were really good players and I was going up against the best guys. But now when I like look back, I'm like, that was the best thing for me, you know, and it built my confidence so much, and ultimately to where I learned a lot. So I think that's the kind of mindset we all need, is to, you know, step up and go against the best guys so that we can have more opportunities to fail.
I remember years ago, I took a beginning racquetball class just for fun, and I was already pretty decent at it. Mm-hmm. By the end of the class, most people could beat me.
Yeah.
Because you're playing against all these kids and you weren't getting any better, you know, and it's like, and eventually, you know, so, well, I guess some of them could beat me. And it is, it's that. It's like, we are so afraid. And we're not even afraid. Like, I want you to talk about, like, the essentially all the noise in your head that you've had to deal with throughout your journey. Because I think so many people out there, like, we do. We just have so much overthinking about it. I call it crazy leprechaun thinking. It's a combination of the adversary, our own habitual thoughts, and all kinds of other stuff. But like, what would you say about that?
Yeah, there's, I feel like I've been fortunate into not getting a lot of, backlash and stuff like that in my life, but there's definitely been a lot. And I guess could you rephrase the question and
Oh yeah, for sure, man. So like, and maybe you're different than most people, 'cause and maybe you've trained your mind differently. But I know quite a few people, they feel like there's just all this overthinking, all this noise in their head about, oh, I have to do it this way, I have to do it this way. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do this. Just this barrage of noise, and like how you've overcome that to get where you're at. And even if you've had dealt, maybe you've never really had to deal with that. That's fine too.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like the biggest thing to for me is that I needed to recognize that my way is the best way to do it for myself. And like, if I were to, you can learn from a lot of other people, but and I've watched, especially as a receiver in football, like I watch a lot of film on other NFL wide receivers because I want to learn and want to grow. And when I implement their stuff into my game, if I'm trying to be exactly like they are and like do the exact same thing, it doesn't really work out. I need to mix it with who I am and who what makes me, unique in my play. And I think that applies to life as well, is we are given certain abilities and certain skills and certain talents that are God-given to us. And if we're trying to change those and to be someone else and try to be someone else's talents and skills and emulate those, like it's good as long as we're magnifying our own God-given abilities and skills and mixing it with ours and being confident and trusting in the skills that God gave us. And hopefully that made sense, but I feel like,
That was gorgeous, man.
yeah,
I mean,
knowing
honestly,
that.
like that was, I just love it because so many people, they're trying to emulate somebody else. You know, the musician that's trying to emulate, you know, Coldplay or Blink-182 or whatever, right? Like, instead of just being them. And so tell me more about how you've incorporated your way, but still added some good things that you've seen from these other professionals that you've watched their film. So I'm super intrigued by this.
Yeah, so I'll watch all different types of receivers. And I try to add certain moves that they have, and then implementing just with, okay, if me personally, like my skills, like I feel like I have these instincts that I can, do this certain type of move. So when I combine like my abilities with these learning experiences and watching these other guys, it creates, me still. But if I'm so focused on doing it exactly the way that this other receiver is doing it, then it doesn't work all the time because I'm overriding my own instincts and my own abilities. So being able to just learn from others and then adding it with your own instincts and trusting yourself has helped me grow, as a receiver, and then also applying it to life. When I, see others' examples, I want to be like them. But what are the God-given abilities that he's given me to bless others? And what can I use that, whatever it is, like with other people, it could be their smile, like you guys need to smile more, you know, because that's what God has given you. And just things like that, I guess. There's a lot of routes you can go, but that's the first thing that came to mind, is trust in the abilities that God has given you and use them, you know, as well as add the examples around you.
I mean, I think that advice right there is like some of the most helpful that, well, and it's interesting because, you know, you start hearing different things from different people, you know, and so like, you know, my mentor now that I've followed for the past 7.5 years, you know, is always talking about, Joseph, like, just basically do you, just do you. And we've gotten so, you know, there's so many competing ways to say, oh, try this, try this, try this. But here you're saying, you know, trust yourself, trust the God-given instincts that you've been given. Have you always had that? Have you always pretty much followed that? Or like, when did you start getting in tune with that?
Yeah, I remember wanting to be better. Like, there was a moment I was like, I need to be better. And I started to read all these self-help books. And it was awesome. Like, I learned a lot from the self-help books. It was like Good to Great and all those Atomic Habits, different things. And what I learned was they were amazing. But when I got into the Book of Mormon, and that, like, honestly, that was the best self-help book because it helped me realize personally that I'm a son of God and that I have a divine, you know, purpose here on earth. And ultimately, that was the best self-help book for me. Was the Book of Mormon and the Bible and learning about God's word and Jesus Christ's example. Because then it got me to look into, you know, the divine nature that I have personally. And like I said before, adding it with also other examples of, you know, those self-help books, like those do help you. But ultimately, when you believe in yourself and you are able to understand your divine nature, that you're a son of God and that you have these amazing abilities already like within you, they just need to come out, you know, and you need to express them and show people them.
What's helped you the most know that you're a son of God? Like, just because, I mean, dude, you definitely have this incredible presence, this incredible certainty about you. It's just this light, man. It's so cool. It's awesome. Like, what's helped, like, if you could pinpoint a few things that have helped you, because I know there's many people out there that, like, they don't feel they believe in themselves, and they listen way too much to, you know, all the noise in their head that tells them they're not good enough, etc. Like, what's helped you the most to realize your true divinity?
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint, like, a specific moment because it's also, like, it's a bunch of moments built up over time. I think choosing to serve a mission was the most vital in my life. It's just because it put God first. You know, I had to forget about everything else. And I think that's why it's so necessary for an 18-year-old kid to realize that if I can trust in my Heavenly Father and put Him first, then, you know, things are going to work out. And I can do that the rest of my life. So that was the main decision that I made that helped me the most in my life. And then a lot of little ones along the way, little moments. Like, I remember as a little kid, it was probably junior high when everyone started to start swearing and use kind of crude foul language. And not that swearing is bad. I have family members that swear and it's hilarious sometimes, but for me, my decision was to I'm not going to swear, or at least talk crude and talk in a negative manner. And I made that decision as a little kid, and that was another little decision that I made, a kind of a foundational piece for, I'm going to be different, you know, I don't want to kind of talk like everyone else. And then choosing to serve a mission, and then other decisions along the way after I got home that just helped me, I guess, be different and understand that different is okay. And that we don't have to be like everyone else, that we don't have to talk like everyone else. We don't have to act like, you know, everyone else to have fun or to you know, that's what I was able to realize over time. But it took a little bit for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting how those little things are, they really add up to the big things.
Yeah.
You know,
I definitely make a lot of mistakes, and that was part of the learning process. Like we were talking about before, failure is how you learn and grow. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and that's also, you know, a foundational piece, or those mistakes built up.
Well, so now I'm curious of something, because you and I are both members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, at least for me, you know, because like you talked about wanting to, you know, live your divine mission.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how does playing in the NFL serve it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a curiosity, not a judgment, just to be very clear.
I'm super curious. Sure. Yeah. And a lot of people have asked me. I've got a lot of, not backlash, but.
Really?
No, yeah, I mean, from, I guess, scouts and different NFL agents, people like that are like, do you really love football? Like, you're not the type to, like, have that crazy dog, like, mean and nasty. And I'm like, no, I don't. That's not why I play football. It comes from a different place. It comes from a place that I want to be a light, and I want to glorify God. And it might come out in more of a soft and way football worldwise, but me personally, I think it's the tough way to go about it, you know. And if I'm gonna be the best football player that I can be, then I need to. That's how I need to play, and that's how I need to look at things. And ultimately, I want to play in the NFL so that I can, you know, glorify God and be able to. Catch touchdowns and then point up to God, and you know, people can see that, and you've seen a lot of that in the NFL now, of people being open about their faith after a win, you know, saying, I just, you know, always trust in my Savior Jesus Christ. And I love hearing that from the quarterbacks. You hear it from CJ Stroud and a lot of different NFL guys that are open about their faith, and that's ultimately what I'm excited about, you know, if I do get the opportunity to play at the next level.
Well, yeah, and I think it's so cool. It's interesting, I have to say, because you guys mentioned, so Chase has a podcast called 2-Point Conversion. That's awesome. I just started listening a few days ago, and your co-host mentions how Ohio State had this whole faith revival. Now, I gotta be honest, I've hated Ohio State for a very long time.
Yeah,
but this year I couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, you know, it's really hard when you see people putting their faith and trust in Christ, and you know, not saying I had any grounds to hate them beforehand, but like, you want them to do even better. I mean,
oh, it's true. It's true. We're all on the same team, right? When it comes to spreading the gospel.
Well, and the other question I wanted to ask you. And again, this one isn't judgment. It's more curiosity, because for me, because a lot of kids are going to possibly be listening to this, right? And they're going to say, well, I'm a member of the church, so I can't play in the NFL because I can't play on Sundays.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's very personal for everybody. And I feel like growing up, I always chose to not play on Sundays. And I've seen a lot of blessings from that. And I think if I had the opportunity to get drafted and go play in the NFL, you know, I'd be very prayerful about it. Personally, what I'm feeling right now is that Heavenly Father could use more of his, you know, the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the NFL. And I think that's, you know, a thing that I feel personally right now. If he has another path for me and I feel differently, then I won't play on Sundays. But ultimately, right now, that's the goal. And I feel like playing on Sundays is okay, because I have the opportunity to be an example and to be a light to the NFL world, if I get that opportunity. And I think it's just like the stories of Christ performing miracles on the Sabbath. You know, there's a lot of Pharisees that are, you know, trying to catch him for doing that and say it's unholy and you can't do that. And then ultimately, you know, he's telling them that they're wrong. And if you really knew what, you know, the gospel was all about, it's about healing and loving and serving on the Sabbath. And I feel that playing in the NFL, and maybe those games will be on Sunday, but I feel like it's an act of service if I can do it in the right way.
That's such a beautiful answer. Like, you know, cause me, yeah, like I said, I just, you know, I never even gave it an option because it's like, oh no. And so I didn't even try, you know, it's like, well, I didn't even try to, you know, play even high school or college or anything else just because of that was one of the reasons. There's plenty of others too, but, and so I love that response because I agree with you. I think that when you're living your path, at times, Heavenly Father is going to take you a different direction than you imagine. And it's going to be okay because it's Him taking you. You know, I've had an experience where, you know, we have this general conference that you and I have every 6 months for the church. Mm-hmm. And there was a day that I had a particular coaching training on one of those days. And I went to the Lord and I said, hey, do you want me to not go? And He's like, no, I want you to go. You can watch this later. You know, and it's like, and it's interesting because so often we're like, no, I'm not allowed to. You said I can't. You said I can't in the scripture. It's like, well, I'm telling you right now that I want you to do this.
Yeah, exactly.
And we get in this just very rigid mindset. You know, and you mentioned a lot of the self-development books, you know, and I've read countless as well. And I think sometimes they make us so rigid.
Yeah.
The most important thing for any of us is just to show up and be us, to show up, act in faith, and expect miracles, you know? And so that is so, oh, that's so beautifully said. And I remember one time Danny White was talking, the famous Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and he was talking at a fireside once, and he talked about how before becoming professional, he never played on Sundays. You know, high school, college, you know, peewee, whatever. He never played on Sundays. But then once it became, you know, his job, he played on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You know, and so again, you know, I love how you even said, you know, I've got to go to Heavenly Father and ask about that. And, you know, I think that's funny. You said, if I'm playing on Sundays, I see you playing on Sundays personally, man. Like, and you know, and part of that, I think sometimes we don't do what we want to because we don't think we can. Now, there was another really cool post probably a year or two ago on the church's Instagram about this guy that, you know, he really felt his heart in theater. Now, part of theater is working on Sundays. You know, that's generally the way it comes, you know, And so, like, so often we're just like, I can't, instead of, well, let me inquire of the Lord. Let me see for Him what He wants for me. You know? And so I love those answers. I think those are awesome. So I want to ask you, what are some of the accomplishments you're most proud of on your football journey?
Hmm. Ooh. I think that what I'm most proud of when it comes to my football journey here at BYU is the first thing that I think of is just the people. That's teammates, that's fans, that's little kids that have come up to me after. And that's ultimately like why I love playing here and why I love the game so much is those little kids after the game, win or lose, it doesn't matter. And you are the coolest person that they've ever seen, you know, and they don't care, you know, that you drop the game winning pass or like whatever it is that they're coming up to you and they want to see positivity. They want to see like a person that they want to emulate and become like, and that's really motivating for someone and for me, you know, and why I want to always be positive and a good example to the younger generation is because they do look up to a lot of the BYU football players in that sense of, you know, I want to become like him one day. But if we're walking off the field after a loss and ignoring them and, you know, then, you know, that sheds such a negative light on, you know, the people that they are wanting to become like. And it, you know, that's ultimately been such a motivating factor and a blessing here at BYU, is having those opportunities. And you'd probably think it was, you know, beating Utah and stuff, that was the answers, but then those are awesome. Like, those are the main, like, those are amazing. Like, those, I'll always remember those moments. But I don't know, there's something about the kids coming up after, and it's really touching, you know, and those are the moments I feel like I'll cherish, you know, for the rest of my life. And yeah.
What about on the field? What's like the best moment you've had on the field in all of your career?
Okay, yeah. I think beating Utah was one of those.
It was a hold, just saying.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, ultimately it was, you know, we won. They called it. And yeah, so everyone can whine it as much as they want, but ultimately it was a hold, so. No, that was an awesome game, and it was fun to. It was the only game I've ever been a part of where every single person on the field is going 100% every single play, like, and that was just, oh my gosh, and the crowd was at 100%. Like, everyone was, like, usually games there's flows of like people are going hard and then they take plays off, and that's normal football, you know, it's just a long game, and but every play like was. Like, all out, full go. And that was one of the best memories, being around my brothers and halftime and everything. Just was such a great, great memory that I'll never forget, growing up watching the rivalry and having the opportunity to go visit Utah and get an offer from them. And everything just like came together in that moment. And when we beat them, it was amazing.
You forgot the part and turned down the offer from Utah to go to BYU.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that was an amazing game. I wasn't at that one because it was at Utah, but it was definitely watching from home, and that was so cool, dude. I mean, that was an amazing, amazing game. What are some like lucky breaks that you felt you've had to get you where you're at?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is luck. I mean, I don't know. We sometimes shy away from saying that for some reason, but there's a lot of luck, and you can also say it in a way of, you know, blessings, luck, blessings, but it is a big part of life too. And, I feel like my injuries, and you know, there's bad luck a lot of the times in football with injuries, and I've been very lucky to come out and not be and be healthy throughout the whole season. You know, I had a couple games my freshman year that I missed, but ultimately I've been able to play in every single game my whole college career, and that's been such a blessing. You know, I've been lucky and I've been fortunate enough to be able to play. And I do attribute it to, you know, just, you know, blessings in my life and seeing the Lord's hand, I guess, in every aspect.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, lucky breaks.
Yeah.
They are a thing.
They know? Are.
But you also have to be putting in the effort to get the lucky breaks. Like, you weren't. Yeah. You weren't sitting at home, you know, playing Madden for 14 hours a day and get called by a college football agent, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Like, what, yeah. What kind of time did you put in to practicing when you were younger?
Yeah, I was. There's some videos of my mom, like when I was little, doing ladder drills every morning, like outside and stuff. And I loved.
Like how? Being, like how little are we talking? Like how old?
Probably around second grade. Ever since second, third grade, yeah, I would go outside.
Did you have family members that played football, or did you just watch the NFL, or like who was your first thing you saw that you're like, I want to do that?
Yeah, so my dad played at BYU. He played free safety, and I always looked at pictures of him in the football gear and stuff, and thought, I want to. That's something that I would love to do, be in a football jersey and play for BYU. And then I had a lot of uncles, and they played. One of them played in the MLB. One of them played, call other couple others played college football. And just knowing, that's a possibility. It's something that I want to do and keep in the family and have the Roberts name on the back of my jersey. Was something that I always looked forward to and knew could potentially happen. So I worked hard to accomplish that, and that was a big part of my motivation of waking up and doing ladder drills every morning and stuff like that.
So you saw your dad, you saw your uncles, you saw all these people, and probably at every party they were probably talking about all the old experiences from football. So you were like in this. I just want to point something out for the listener. Some people might say that, well, he got really lucky. There's a really cool scripture in the Book of Mormon in Jacob that basically says God planted you where he wanted you. And the less we argue about that and just accept wherever we're at and we decide where we want to go and we move forward, there's plenty of other people that had their uncles, their dad, and everybody else known to man play in leagues and didn't do anything. So like the fact that you actually did all of your brothers and like all your cousins and all that?
I have a younger brother that wants to come play football here. I have a cousin that's playing in the MLB right now.
Oh,
He's
dang.
on the Padres.
So
So
you guys have a few people out there.
it's fun, and growing up with them and being able to have those goals together. We worked really hard, and we were always in the batting cages and taking ground balls, and just that's what that was our life, and what made us into who we are. There's a lot of lessons that you can learn through sports and through spending time with each other.
So you just loved sports growing up, and you were out playing them very often.
And I
I
think
mean, did you have any other hobbies? Did you need music, or like, were you a gamer at all, or any of that stuff?
wasn't a gamer, no. We did go boating a lot growing up as a family, Lake Powell and Utah Lake. A lot in the summer, and we skied in the winter and camped, fished. There was a lot of fun stuff that we did as well, but it was mostly just outdoor stuff. But it was hard because really there was every weekend we had football tournaments or baseball tournaments, basketball tournaments. It was kind of a year-round, thing when it came to sports. So that was a big part of my life.
So you just devoted, you decided what you wanted. And I think it's funny because you said earlier, I wanted to play in the NFL, MLB, and NBA.
That's
So
right.
did you play in high school all three sports?
Yeah, I stopped playing baseball after my sophomore year, just because I got an offer to play football and wanted to get faster, so I ran track instead.
And that's cool too, because some people are like, well, I made this decision to go all three. And then, you have an experience where it's like, hey, you know what? You really need to get faster. You need to sacrifice baseball so you can focus on football. And you still play basketball though?
Still played basketball. Yeah.
Did you get any offers for basketball out of college or for
No,
college?
just
Just for
football.
football?
Just for football. Yeah.
Was
And I
BYU your
committed.
number one school?
It was. Yeah. I
Right
committed.
answer. Right answer. Just kidding.
Yeah. No, it was for sure. For sure. Yeah. I'm so happy I'm here too.
Well, so what would you tell any kid listening to this that says, hey, like I really want to play in the NFL or MLB or whatever their huge dream is? Like if you were to give kids like a rough step-by-step plan from the time they're young, like roughly, how many hours a day to work and those type of things, like what would you say to him?
I would say if there's one specific sport, let's say you want to play football in the NFL, you want to be a wide receiver in the NFL, I would say at this age right now, play all three sports, play baseball, basketball, football, or run track or whatever, soccer. You could even add that in if that's what you'd rather do, then than baseball or something. But those help you so much in like developing you into a better football player. Or if it's basketball, like I promise the other sports will help you develop into a better basketball player. Whatever it is, just have fun with your buddies and play all the sports you can, because that will make you the best athlete overall and give you an edge. Because there's a lot of kids nowadays that just focus on one sport and they'll play football all year round and just train and go to 7-on-7 and stuff like that, and you get burnt out. Like, that's not the way to go, at least for me. I think playing all three sports, and then once football does come, then you're all in and you're going hard, and you've developed these skills in basketball, the quickness and the jumping, and baseball, the hand-eye coordination and stuff like that, that will make you the best wide receiver or whatever you want to play that you can be. So that's the advice that I would give to little kids when it comes to wanting to, you know, make it to a high level and play college football.
And how many hours would you say you practiced a day as a kid? And did it increase? Like, from the time, let's say from the time you were like 5 to 10, and then 10 to 15, and then 15 to now.
Yeah. I would say, I would, after school, in the summers, you know, every morning I would do those ladder drills or something for an hour, go work out, go play basketball. And it was never like a specific, you know, planned out thing, but I was always just wanting to grab a football and do something, or grab a basketball, or go hit in the batting cages in the morning with my cousins. And it was always something every day, just to, and I didn't have like a specific rigid outline of, you know, I was a kid, you know, I wanted to just have fun and play sports. And I think that's the ultimate thing, is you gotta just love it. You gotta have fun. And I don't think making a specific rigid outline is the way to go. I think just making sure every day, just getting your athletic ability to grow every day. And that's whatever it is, you know, it could be cornhole, it could be, you know, whatever, it could be badminton or volleyball. And I think that's the key as a little kid, you know, developing all those different attributes. And, so, I mean, it was hours a day that I would spend just playing sports. And then once you get older into high school, then you get more specific, you get a little more rigid on your plan. And I would wake up every morning and lift and do specific football lifts and then specific football drills, because I knew that was the path that I was going to take.
So at what moment did college go from a pipe dream to, oh yeah, for sure, absolutely, they're going to pick me for college?
Yeah, I think really once when I got my offer to play at BYU, and I was like, all right, this is, you know, this is something.
Before that, then, did you think you were good enough to play in college?
It was always a goal. I never really knew, you know, you're kind of naive as a kid. And I definitely performed well in like little league and got pulled up, you know, as a younger kid to play at a higher level, and knew that I had the ability. But I was so skinny my sophomore year. I was like freshman, sophomore year. I think freshman year, I was like 6'3", 150 or something, 160 maybe.
Just no way.
Lanky, yeah. And then sophomore year, I was able to gain about 20, 30 pounds. And that's when they finally, all right, like, we can offer this kid, you know, he's not going to be a stick his whole life. So, but it just takes time. And yeah, so I didn't really know until I reached my sophomore year and was able to gain some weight and start making plays at the varsity level. And so, yeah.
You mentioned burnout. How do you avoid burnout, and how do you keep your motivation and desire high when things get rough?
Yeah, I love the scripture in the Book of Mormon. It talks about how we can never, let's not run faster than we have strength. But also after it says, but you need to be diligent if you want to win the prize. So there's a good balance there. I feel like a lot of people might go on the extreme end of this side of being too stressed and diligent and like crazy about things. but also the extreme of this side of, you know, don't run faster than you have strength, just chill out. Like, there needs to be like a fine line in between that. And I think that comes with not focusing on one sport your whole life, being able to play all the sports. And then also know that in the moment, let's say you have planned an hour workout in that day, like give it everything you got in that hour workout. And then the rest of the day, don't worry. Don't think about football. Don't, you know, just kind of chill. And I think that's helped me a lot, is when I'm in football and we have practice from whatever 1 to 6, I am locked in and I'm all in. And then once we're done, I chill and I read, or I play the guitar, or I'll spend time with family or spend time with other people. And then once football hits again, I'm locked in and I'm ready to go. And that I get excited, you know, I'm not burnt out because I've watched film, you know, 3 hours after we watched film for 2 hours, you know. And there is times where you need to do your own film watching. And but then again, like I pick that hour at night and then I go all in. And then right after that hour is done, I'm done, you know. And I think there's a good balance, and it comes over time. You learn how your brain works and how it's different. People are different. Some people can watch film all day and not get burnt out. So find your balance and find your where you feel the most confident.
So it's just kind of feeling it out for yourself.
Exactly. It comes over time. Yeah. Knowing when you get burnt out, and it takes times where you need to go test it, you know, and get burnt out. And then it takes times where you're like, wait, no, I'm getting behind, you know, I'm not doing enough. And then you're able to learn over time. Find that.
That's beautiful, man. Well, any last thoughts that you want to share?
No, I think through it all, and through all the, I guess, different experiences that I've had, the ultimate thing is when I put God first in my life, and when I wake up and I say a prayer, and then when I go to bed and I say another prayer to Him, that's when I feel the most confident in my life, and I'm able to really enjoy and feel confident going into my days and having the Spirit with me throughout the days. And you're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time, but when I pray with real intent at night, and then in the morning, I'm able to reset. And I think that's the most important thing that I've been able to do in my life, is have a nightly and morning talk with my Heavenly Father. And I think that's ultimately the greatest thing that I've been able to do in my life.
That's beautiful, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for, you know, taking your time. I know you're super busy, but thank you so much for taking your time and being on the podcast. And if you want to let people know how they can connect with you, either on Instagram or your website or whatever.
Yeah. So I have an Instagram and a Twitter. ChaseRoberts27 is my Instagram. And I try to post a lot of fun things about the podcast that we have, and different scriptures and quotes and different activities and whatever. And then also, like I mentioned, the podcast, go check that out. The 2-point conversion. It's been such a blast, and that's it. I mean, hopefully you can come to some games too and come watch the BYU Cougars play, and we're gonna hopefully have another amazing season.
Yeah, it was sure fun to watch them last year. We'll be at plenty of games this year. So well, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you, Joseph.